You're listening to another great Torah class, recorded by TorahAnytime.com.
It is a great schus to have been invited by one of my closest friends, Michael Rothschild, to come to speak to all of you. I just want to tell you that the first time that I was ever in Manchester, in England, I went in to visit Rabbi Yehuda Zev Segal, the Manchester Rosh Hashiva. And as we began talking, he said, "Oh, I know who you are." I said, "The Rosh Hashiva knows me?" He said, "No, I know that you speak for Machoel." I said, "Who's Machoel?" And he said, "Machoel Rothschild, Michael Rothschild." Rav Segal loved him so much, and he felt that he was doing so much for Klal Yisrael. And the fact that I had a chelik of it speaking at some of the events just made me special in his eyes. And for that, I'm always grateful, besides everything else, all the wonderful opportunities you've given me over my life. It's an honor to speak in Rav Zev's home, and I hope that tonight we'll be able to be inspired together. We've come together at a very, very special time, not only because it's a time of Sfira, but you know, the Bnei Yisoscha says something fabulous. The Bnei Yisoscha says that there's a Mishnah in Ovos, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked all his Talmidim, what is the most important midah that a person should have? And Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch said the most important midah is that a person should have a lev toiv, a good heart. Other Talmidim had said different things. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, when he heard lev toiv, he said that is the true answer, because everything else that anybody said is included in that. Sounds like a simple Mishnah, but watch what the Bnei Yisoscha does with it. He says, why do we have Sfira 49 days? Why not 39? Why not 29? Why not 59? Where does 49 come from? And he says, you know where it comes from? Lev is v'gematria 32. Toiv is v'gematria 17. 32 and 17 is 49. These are the days that we are supposed to become that person that achieves for ourselves a lev toiv. And isn't it amazing? When does Lag BaOmer start? Lag BaOmer starts after the Lev days, the beginning of Toiv days, right? After 32 is 33. That's, so now we are in the days of Toiv. And isn't it incredible? When the Chofetz Chaim got to be known, Miyoisha Chofetz Chaim, Oyev Yomim, Lirois Toiv. That's what we came here tonight, Lirois Toiv. We are in the days of Toiv, the last 17 days of the Sfira, and we've come to talk about the Chofetz Chaim. Now, eventually, I will get to talk about the organization. But my focus here tonight is to talk about the life of the Chofetz Chaim. Who was this person? How did he become so great? What was his hashkafa in life? And what can we, as we prepare for Kabbalah Satorah, what could we learn from him that will change us and that will elevate us? And will Taka give us days of Lirois Toiv? So I want to tell you a little story that happened in 1869. In 1869, there was a small town that had a rov, just like many other towns, and the people in the town got involved in a terrible, terrible machlekes. And the rov took one side of the machlekes, and unfortunately, people spoke against him in such a terrible way that he just felt that he had to leave. He couldn't be there anymore because they had disparaged him in a terrible way. He left the town, he moved someplace, he lived only two more years, and he died of a broken heart. Now, in that first town, there was a young man who was only 30 years old, and he saw what it meant when people bared someone, people disparaged someone, and they absolutely made him lose his life because they made him so miserable that he had to leave town, and he died 2 years later. And this 30-year-old man decided he's going to write a sefer about how to speak and how not to speak. And he didn't want to sign his name to it. And he went around trying to get haskamas. And he spent 2 years writing it. And one of the people that he went to was a big tzaddik. His name was Rav Baruch Mordechai Lipschitz of Navardok. And he read the sefer. And he said, you know, it's a wonderful sefer, but I just don't believe that anybody could live by what this man wrote. So he sent Talmidim to go to speak to the Chofetz Chaim, to Rabbi Yisrael Meir. He wasn't known as the Chofetz Chaim. And he said to them, get him involved in a conversation. Let's see how he talks. Does he talk about anybody else? Does he just keep quiet? And they came back and they said he is a magnificent conversationalist. It's not that he's just quiet, he talks, and he's friendly, but he never says anything bad about anyone. And when Gedolim, who he had wanted to get haskamas from, realized this man really walks the walk and talks the talk, he wrote a sefer about being a conversationalist, not just not talking bad, but talking, getting involved in people. They gave him the haskama. And you know something? The Ksav Sefer writes something so important that all of us have to listen to. The Ksav Sefer says, V'chein derech ha-tzadikim. This is in Vayikra Chav Beis Lamed Beis. V'chein derech ha-tzadikim she'enam izboididim. The tzaddik is not supposed to just go in his corner and learn the daf and go in his corner and have nothing to do with anyone. Ki im u'rovim bein abriyos. You have to be involved with everyone. And he writes, V'im lo yasa kein. If somebody thinks, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara, I'm just going to learn myself, I'll be in my own corner. He says, B'chalel Shem Shamayim. That's a chilal Hashem. She'omrim, people will say, M'nei shalom etayir eni yadeh ladabarim b'nei yodam. Because he knows how to learn, so therefore that's why he can't get involved in speaking to anybody. That's not what Yevishter wants from us. And you know something? The Chavetz Chaim wrote a pshat, which is so beautiful. Listen to this. We daven it every Shabbos. It says, L'chu bonim shimuli. Go, my children, listen to me. So Rav Chavetz Chaim asked, I should have said, come, my children. Boyu. Why does it say, L'chu. L'chu bonim. Go, my children, shimuli. Yiras Hashem alamedchem. And then he tells them, Miyu Yishach Chavetz Chaim. If you want somebody to listen to you, you tell them to come. So you know what the Chavetz Chaim says? David HaMelech is trying to tell you something. I want to teach you how to speak. I want to teach you to get involved with the world. Go out in the world and I'm going to teach you how to talk to people. That's what it means, L'chu bonim. Now, Avram Levitt, who just walked in, he came with me to a trip on Lublin numerous times. You know what Pasuk Rav Meir Shapiro had written on the building? It's still there today. You could see it. This is the Pasuk. L'chu vonim shimuli. Because that's what Rav Meir Shapiro believed in. Rav Meir Shapiro believed that the Talmidim should learn, but they should go out in the world and change the world. And that's what the Chavetz Chaim did. And that's what we have to learn tonight. That's one of the midos. We have to feel an achrayus to the tzibor. You can't just be a tzaddik in your own dalet amos. That's not what Hashem wants. According to the Ksav Sefer, that's a chilul Hashem. And that's what the Chavetz Chaim was all about. Going out to make a difference. Now I want to tell you something that's very moving to me. You know, he had a father. His father's name was Aryeh Zev. Aryeh Zev married a woman by the name of Miriam. They had three children. And Nebuch, then Miriam passed away. Now Miriam had a younger sister. And the minig in those days was that if a woman died, and many women died young, many people died young, that the husband, especially if he had children, married the younger sister. So the younger sister, Miriam's younger sister, was Dobrisha. And Aryeh Zev and Dobrisha had a little boy named Yisrael Meir. Now Yisrael Meir was a genius. So he had these half brothers and sisters, but he was smarter than all of them. And eventually, they sent him to Vilna, where he had a private tutor, and they put him in the yeshiva in Volozhin. And then Nebuch, when he was in the yeshiva, that's when his father died. It always touches me that Aryeh Zev died at 47, because my own father died at 47. So anytime I hear somebody that died at 47, it's very poignant to me. But you know something that happened to him when he was in that yeshiva? And it's something that we have to learn about. There was a man who was a maskil. His name was Adam HaKoyen Levinson. And he was into math and into culture. And he would go into the yeshivas like Volozhin and try to chop the brilliant kids to get them to stop learning. And one of the young boys that he went after was Yisrael Meir. He knew he was a young boy and he knew that he was brilliant. And he wanted to see if he could take him away from learning. And you know what happened? The Chavetz Chaim ran away from the Beis Medrash. He went and he hid for a few days. And he wrote later that was a terrible thing that he had to do, to run away from the Beis Medrash. But then he said something that we all have to remember. He quoted a famous Gemara. Yesh koine oilomoi b'sho'achas. Sometimes a person makes a decision, and that is koina his olam haba. That decision that he makes is the turning point in his life. And we shall not ever be afraid to make a decision like that. Sometimes you have to just turn the corner. And that's what the Chavetz Chaim did. He left the Beis Medrash. Who would tell a young kid to leave the Beis Medrash? But he said, I had to leave the Beis Medrash because that fellow was chasing me. And I want to tell you something fascinating. You know, Rav Tzadik has a klal. Rav Tzadik says that the first time that a word appears in the Torah, especially if it has many meanings, that's the exact meaning. The first time that the word appears in the Torah. Does anybody want to guess besides Baal Kaira where the word Sha'ah appears the first time in the Torah? You wouldn't believe it. You know where the word Sha'ah appears? It appears like this. By Hevel and Kayin, when they gave gifts. So then what happened? The Torah tells us, V'hevel hevi gamhu, he brought me b'chayres Sinai. V'yisha Hashem al Hevel, v'al Kayin v'al Menchosai loy Sha'ah. Hashem didn't turn. If that's the case, now we have a gewaltige meaning. Yesh koina oilamoi b'sho'achas doesn't mean in 1 hour and 1 moment. It means in one refocusing, one redirection. Somebody makes a decision and refocuses his life like the Chavetz Chaim did. And it changes forever. And you know something? I'll tell you something. You mamash have to hold on to your seatbelts to hear this. It's absolutely amazing. You know what? How did Rabbi Akiva change? It's amazing. If you read the Ovis of Rab Nosson, it says like this. Pam achas. Arboim shana 40 years. Lo shana klu. He didn't learn a word. Pam achas. One time. He stood by the bear, and we all know he saw that the water made the hole in the rock. And he said, if that's what could happen, that the soft water could pierce the hard rock, so therefore the Torah that's strong could pierce my heart. Right? He saw it one time. Sho'achas. He turned to see it. Now watch this. You know what somebody told me? A Rebbe in Tveris Moshe, when I told it to him, I went crazy. I couldn't believe it. Akiva is the Oisiyos. Yesh koina oilamoi b'sho'achas. Could you believe that? That's what Rabbi Akiva was. And that's what we have to learn from the Chavetz Chaim. Sometimes you have to not be afraid to make the decision. Make the decision, refocus your life. And that's what Michael did. I remember when Michael first started. He was public relations. But he decided, you know what? I've got to do something for Shmir Saloshin. And he refocused his life. I'll never forget, never, the first time he called me. I should speak for Chavetz Chaim. He says to me, you know, how would you like to speak, you know, for 10,000 people? I said, Michael, what are you, crazy? You know, what are you going to rent Madison Square Garden, Felt Forum? Where are you going to get 10,000 people? He said, take it easy. I'll tell you when I have an idea. I'm going to film you in the Yeshiva Brooklyn by Rabbi Teichman, if you remember. I'm going to have a couple cameras there. And we're going to film this and we're going to send it to every Jewish community center and every shul or every camp all over the country. And he was right. Here I spoke in front of maybe 150 girls, and then by the time, you know, the summer rolled around, 3,000 people heard it. So here's a man who refocused his life, and that's what we have to do. We have to not be afraid to refocus and make a commitment to everything that the Chavetz Chaim stood for. I want to tell you another thing that the Chavetz Chaim stood for. You know, there's a pasuk that we all say so many times, and I was so happy when I saw this pshat because I think of it every single Shabbos and Monday and Thursday. When we pick up the Torah, we say, V'zayis ha-Torah ashasam Moshe lefnei b'nei Yisrael, right? This is the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu picked up, right? That Hashem, that he put in front of Klal Yisrael. So you know, where does that say? Do you ever think about that? Do you ever look up the pasuk? Where does that say? We would think it would say by Har Sinai, right? That's not where it says. If I gave you 10 guesses, you wouldn't believe. You know where it says? By Ore Miklat. Of all places, by Ore, what is going on? V'zois ha-Torah ashasam Moshe lefnei b'nei Yisrael. And the next pasuk is, Oz yavdu Moshe shloish orim be'ever ha-yarden. There were six cities, four, thank you. There were six cities where there was going to be the Ore Miklat, three in Ever ha-yarden and three in Eretz Yisrael. And they were not going to have effect until the three in Eretz Yisrael was set up, but Moshe Rabbeinu never made it to Eretz Yisrael. So he set up those three in the Ever HaYarden. So Rashi says, and the Chofetz Chaim says, look at that. He knew very well that he can't complete the mitzvah because he wasn't going to Eretz Yisrael. So why did he set up the three over here in Ever HaYarden? They weren't in effect until the three was set up in Eretz Yisrael. The answer is because you do what you can do while you can do it. And that's what the Chavetz Chaim says. That's why V'zois HaTorah. V'zois HaTorah means, he says, you're going to tell somebody not to speak Lashon Hara for the rest of his life. It's crazy. It's never going to happen. But you could tell somebody for an hour. You could tell somebody for 2 hours, don't speak anything negative. I don't mean 3 o'clock in the morning. But the idea is that's V'zois HaTorah. That's the Torah. Every mitzvah. You can't say, well, I'm going to change my life. No, that doesn't happen that way. Like, Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, one drop of water at a time. That's what the Chofetz Chaim writes about Shemir HaLashon. Don't make a commitment. From now on, I'll never speak Lashon Hara. By the time you get home, you're going to speak Lashon Hara tonight. But try at least till 10 o'clock tonight. I'm not going to. That's what the Chofetz Chaim taught us, making a small commitment. But I want to tell you another thing that you're not going to believe. You know, the Chofetz Chaim's father passed away, as I told you, Aryeh Zev. So his mother remarried. His mother remarried a man by the name of Rab Shimon, who learned in Volozhin. And he had a daughter that was old already. And he was so worried, how's she going to find the shidduch? She was 18. Right? She was 18, 19. How are you going to find the shidduch? She's so old already. So you know what the Chofetz Chaim did? You wouldn't believe. He said, I'm going to marry her. And his half-brother Aaron said, what are you talking about? You're such a brilliant Talmud Chacham. You can get the best shidduch in Lakewood. You could get the best shidduch any place. What are you marrying this guy's daughter? He's a man, he learns of a lashon, but he's not the greatest Talmud Chacham. He said, no, because you imagine the shalom bias that's going to be now between my mother and him, that I took off the worry of this guy, Rab Shimon, because I married his daughter? Could you believe that? That's who he married. Imagine he married a girl who was older than him so that there should be shalom bias between his mother and his stepfather. It's unbelievable. Because he was interested in shalom bias. And years later, he would say to his son, that was the best thing he ever did. Because she didn't want fancy clothes. She didn't make any demands on him. She was a simple girl. He was able to write. He was able to travel. He was able to do everything that he wanted to do. But you see how far he went for shalom bias. And you know something? He writes another thing. And I think as we prepare for Kabbalah Satira, it's so important that every one of us tonight should make a Kabbalah to do this. I see we have two great writers in the room. They should put it in their newspapers and make sure we have one on the men's side, one on the women's side. Umo'oid, he writes in Avos Chesed, Umo'oid tzorich li zoher shelo yechsan lo imidas ha-chesed afilo yoim echad. Not one day should go by without you doing a favor for somebody else. I'm not talking a husband or wife or wife or husband. That you got to do if you know it's good for you. But I'm talking out of the house. There are people say, oh, charity begins at home. Of course it begins at home. But that's not what real chesed is all about. Real chesed is when you do something you really don't have to do. And you go and you do it. And you know what I would say? Every one of us should make a Kabbalah. Keep a spiral. Keep a notebook. And do not go to sleep at night until you did one chesed for somebody else. You called an almana. You lent someone money. You made a call for a shidduch. You made a call for somebody, a job. Something. You made somebody feel special. And you know what the Chofetz Chaim writes? It's frightening. Because, of course, we're going towards Kabbalah Satayra. So he writes in Avos Chesed, Chelek Sheni Perek Dalet, Kisha Osak B'Toyra B'Lvad. If somebody just sits and learns alone, V'Gimilas Chasodim Loy Asak, but he doesn't do favors, Loy Nis'oirer Al Yodai L'mayla Midas HaChesed Rabbeinu Shalaylam. We're asking Hashem every day to do Chesed for us. Learning is not enough. Learning is important, but it's learning and chesed. And then he brings the Gemara that the Talmidim asked Rabbi Elazar, what should we do so we should be saved from Chevelei Mashiach? Yasik B'Torah or Gemilas Chasodim. From now on, from tonight on, not one day should go by. And I've spoken to Michael so many times about this, that we should give out little spirals or chesed journal. Golda, we got to do this. We got to have a journal that every person could keep in their home, that they do not go to sleep until they do a chesed. And that would be a new thing that we could do in Klal Yisrael. Of course you have to learn, but learning's not enough. And you know what he says, an amazing thing? He says, you know what it means to do a chesed? Not only when somebody's sitting shiva. He writes, "Ulepa'amim tzorach shechavera yasa chesed imoy begufay be'eis shehu besimcha." Going to somebody's simcha, telling somebody mazel tov. Many times we're hesitant. That is so many people at the wedding. Who cares whether I go or not? Doesn't make a difference. No, I'm telling you. I'm so embarrassed to tell you this. I never said this in public, but I'll tell you something. It's amazing. I remember by my first son's bar mitzvah. I'll never forget. After the bar mitzvah, we had a tent in the backyard. I didn't want to rent a fancy hall. We just had a tent and everybody was in the back. And it was absolutely amazing. I'm so embarrassed to tell you this. I said to my wife, you know, I understand Haman for the first time. So she said, what are you talking about? I said, because Haman, everybody bowed down to him. Except one person, Mordechai, right? And I was thinking, how could anybody not dare come to my simcha? Is there anything more important than my son's bar mitzvah? How could somebody not come? So like when you're so into yourself, into your own simcha,
and you want everybody to share it. That's what the Chofetz Chaim is telling you. Please don't print that. But I'm just telling you that when you have a simcha, you want people to be there. It's not only by Nicham Avelim. That's what the Chofetz Chaim is teaching us. I'll tell you one more thing about the Chofetz Chaim that we can learn from. Just an amazing thing. There was a man, Rav Simcha Kaplan, who was a Rav in Haifa, but he learned as a young man in Mir. Now again, Avram and I were in all these places in Mir and Tells and Slabodka, and there was no such thing as a dormitory in those days. You lived by a balabas. So this Simcha Kaplan, one Friday morning, he hears how the woman of the house is yelling at her husband, "I know you're going to go next town to buy something. Make sure you come back before 12 o'clock because, you know, we have to get ready for Shabbos." And he's thinking, "Lady, like, what are you talking about? First of all, the guy's in El Chayit. Shabbos is not till 7 o'clock at night. And the town is not so far. What's the big deal? Why is she making such a big deal?" And finally, when the man left, Simcha Kaplan, who was just a bocher in Mir, but living there at night and eating meals there, he said, "Ma'am, I hope you don't mind my asking, but why were you so upset? Your husband's in El Chayit. And he's going to a town that's not so far. And Shabbos is not till 7 o'clock at night." She said to him an amazing thing. She said, "I want to tell you a story." She said, "We were married for many years and didn't have children. And finally we had a little child. And when my child became 3 years old, he became very, very ill. We went to every doctor around this area. And every one of us told us that his days are numbered. There's no way he can make it. And I was frantic. This was my only child. So I went to Vienna to the professors. I went to the doctors there. And they said the same thing. His days are numbered. I was walking in the street. I was crying. I didn't know what to do with myself. And a man comes over to me. I never saw him. He never saw me. He sees a Jewish woman's crying. He says, 'Why are you crying?' He says, 'I shouldn't be crying. I have a three-year-old son. The doctors say his days are numbered. I don't know what to do.' All the doctors gave up. He said, 'Lady, where do you live?' I said, 'Mir.' I said, 'Mir? Why don't you go to Radin and you go to Chofetz Chaim and you get a bracha from the Chofetz Chaim?' She said, 'No, he's too old. He's over 90. Nobody's able to get into him.' He said, 'Lady, you got no choice. You have to go there. That's the only choice. All the doctors gave up. You must get a bracha from the Tzadik Hador.' So she makes her way to Radin and she comes to the house. And of course, they tell her that Chofetz Chaim is so old and so frail, he can't see anybody. And she realizes they're going to throw her out and she's not going to see him. And she starts yelling and screaming and begging and crying. And finally, the Chofetz Chaim from the back room hears a woman crying. He comes out. He says, 'Vos geht on da? What's going on?' So now he was out here. So he asks the lady to sit down and she tells him the whole story. And he says to her, listen what he says to her. He says, 'I want to tell you two things. And if you observe these two things, I guarantee you that your son is going to be okay.' Now, when she told the story, she said, 'I thought he was going to tell me I got to say the whole Tillum every day, which I was going to do anyway, no matter what he said. And the second thing is that I have to fast 50 days a year. That's what I thought he would say. And I would do it anyway to save my son.' But that's not what he said. What he said was that by 12 o'clock Friday, the Shabbos tablecloth has to be on the table. Not the wine and the challahs, but it has to be that the house looks Shabbostic." She said, "Rebbe, that's all?" He said, "One more thing." He said, "You know, when you ben shlicht, so it's Shabbos for you, but it's not Shabbos yet for your husband because he still has 18 minutes. I want from now on, when you ben shlicht, nobody does any malach in the house. The house becomes Shabbosnik once you start, once you ben shlicht." And she says, "Of course, I was makabel both of those things, and you see that my son is alive. That's why I want by 12 o'clock, the house should be there, that my husband should be back. And I want to tell you something. Golda and others who know my wife know this so, that every single Thursday night, we put the tablecloth on the table. So that when the kids come home or wake up Friday morning, it's not Friday morning, it's Erev Shabbos. And you can call me any Shabbos that I'm home," which is not often these days, "but any Shabbos that I'm home, 5 minutes before Lich Bechin, you're going to hear piano in the background." And people say, "Who's playing piano Erev Shabbos?" It's my wife. You know why? Because she's organized. Who says you have to pick up your clothes 5 minutes before Shabbos? Who says you have to go to to get challahs, you know, late Friday afternoon? If you're organized and you prepare for Shabbos Thursday afternoon, or like the Chofetz Chaim says, you know, by 12 o'clock, then it's different. How did he know that? Was the Chofetz Chaim a Novi? I'll tell you how I think he knew it. You know, we said before that there are certain words in the Torah that have double meanings. So we know Shmirah Shabbos means to observe Shabbos. But listen to this. Remember this pasuk? After the dream of Yosef, Vayikana boy Echov, Va'aviv, Shomar Esadav. What does Shomar mean? He couldn't wait. He was so excited that this should happen. Oh, so now we have a new pshat, the Shmir Shabbos. Shmir Shabbos doesn't only mean observing Shabbos. Shmir Shabbos means being so excited you can't wait for it to happen. Just like Yaakov couldn't wait for the dream to come true. That's how the Chofetz Chaim knew it. So maybe that's another Kabbalah that we have to do as we prepare for Kabbalah Satira. That every Friday we should be excited for Shabbos. Prepare Thursday night, prepare by 12 o'clock. And one more thing. The Chofetz Chaim had a sensitivity to every single Yid. Do you know what Svarim he wrote? When you think about it, it's absolutely mind-boggling. We've gone to Radin, you have the whole list of Svarim there. If you take a look, it's incredible. Not only that he wrote Shmir Saloshin, it took him 25 to 28 years to write the Mishnah Brura, which is on all of Aruch Chaim. He wrote a Sefer Nidche Yisrael for immigrants. He wrote a Sefer Avas Chesed, which is all about gemachs and all about every type of chesed imaginable. He wrote a Sefer for soldiers. He wrote a Sefer on Taras HaMishpacha. And then, of course, he wrote on Kochim. You know what that means? That we all have to broaden our perspectives. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation is all about. It's not only a question of what's doing here in New York City. When Michael Rothschild started the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, he wanted to change the world. Now that sounds crazy, right? How are you going to change the world? You change the world one act at a time, one video at a time, one CD at a time, one book at a time, one newsletter at a time, and you don't stop. And then when you don't stop, then you become like the Chofetz Chaim. Then you have that broad, broad perspective. And we all know that our children speak much less Lashon Hara than we do. And we all know that sometimes we who may have grown up speaking and saying certain things about others would never say it in front of our children because we'd be embarrassed. Where did that come from? Where did that sensitivity come from? Who changed that? That changed on Tisha B'Av. You know, so many people come over to me, and it's really funny when people say it. Say, Rabbi Krohn, now I look forward to Tisha B'Av. Many people say it. And the truth is, you know, Benjamin Franklin says, imitation is the sincerest flattery. So now there's a lot of people that are doing events on Tisha B'Av, but it all started with this man right here. And it all started with the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. And I'm telling you, wherever I go in the world, Australia, Chile, Zurich, any place, Mexico, wherever, everybody knows this. Everybody knows that Tisha B'Av is special because of the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. So we can change the world. We have to refocus and not think Klein Kepeldick that we're only going to help Queens and Kew Gardens and Kew Garden Hills, the greatest neighborhoods in the world, as we all know. I always say that. And I believe it. Everybody knows that I believe it. But we could change the world if we help, because the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, that's our shliach. And I just want to end just with this thing, because we spend so much time davening and so much time learning. And the Chofetz Chaim tells us, you know, sometimes you wonder, how come things aren't going the way we want it to go? We feel that Hashem's not listening to our tefillos. And he gives a fabulous answer. He gives a mashal, a lake that is so pure, the water is so pure, and you want to get all the pure water to the village, but you got to get it through the pipes. But what if the pipes are corroded and the pipes are filthy? So even if the water is so pure, by the time it gets to the village, nobody can drink it. He said the Torah's words are pure. The words of the Siddur, of the Hedek Chazal are pure. They've got to get to Shemayim through the pipes, which is our mouth. So if our mouth, if somebody says an off-color joke, or somebody says something painful to his wife, I'm not even talking Lashon Hara. Somebody says something painful to their spouse, to a child, to a coworker, to an employer or an employee. So that mouth is corroded, that pipe is corroded. It's impossible that the words, the Heiliger words of Torah and Tefillah are going to make it up in purity to Shemayim. So that's the final Kabbalah. We have to learn from the Chofetz Chaim all these things. Yesh konei lomei b'shachas. We have to be able to focus, refocus. We have to be able to do a chesed a day. We have to do anything to bring shalom bayis. We have to do all these things that the Chofetz Chaim stood for. To go out and become a part of society. L'chu vonim shimoli. First time I saw that on Rav Meir Shapiro's yeshiva, I could not believe it. And v'zois ha-Torah means, you pick up the Torah, he's going to make the Ari Miklat, even though he couldn't finish the job. You do as much as you can. And if we make that commitment to do as much as we can collectively, we can really change the world by helping the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. What a great way to get together in the days of Toiv, that we should taka be Ohev Yomim, and we should all be Leroy's Toiv. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening.
You're listening to another great Torah class, recorded by TorahAnytime.com.